All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And we are here on Veterans Radio, and my name is Dale Throneberry, and a happy, happy anniversary to Veterans Radio. We are now 17 years old. Hopefully we can act our age. We are working on technology right now to make sure that we can get everybody on the phone at all at the same time. But before we get into the program itself, we've got a lot of guests that we're going to be juggling around. I want to make sure that we thank all of our really great sponsors that have been helping Veterans Radio out over the years and are currently helping us go into the future, which is really exciting. So, of course, that would be Legal Help for Veterans, number one, National Veterans Business Development Council, number two, the Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, VetBiz Central, and, of course, our local veteran service organizations, American Legion 46, VFW 423, and a VVA, Veterans of America 310. To learn more about all these organizations and the great services that they provide, you can just go to our website. That's veteransradio.net/our sponsors. So, joining me on the line right now is a voice that has been missing from Veterans Radio for a while. And I want to welcome him back. He's one of the founders of Veterans Radio, and that's Bob Gould. Bob, welcome back to the program, buddy.
How are you, man? Happy, I don't know, what do we say, birthday, anniversary, whatever, 17 years, man.
That's right. That's the longest we've ever held a job, right?
Well, it was so defining. There was never, ever a week, a program that wasn't exciting, that wasn't thrilling to do. I know you'll agree with that. And the times that you and I worked together, we worked as a good team, and it was very exciting to do that. Why don't you quickly tell the listeners how we got started in all this?
Well, I suppose I can. It started back in around July of 2003. Bob and I were both in the insurance industry, and we were sitting at a conference, kind of complaining about the industry and commission being cut and so on and so forth. And we kind of snuck out a little early, and we were sitting outside, I believe. And I told him, I said, Bob, I got this idea. And he says, yeah, what is that? I said, well, I want to do a program about veterans. And he goes, I'm a veteran. Like, I didn't know he was a veteran at the time. And so I kind of did my pitch that we want to tell a story of America's veterans, and we want to do it as a radio program and so forth. And he just reached across the table and shook my hand. He says, I'm with you.
Now,
and that was the beginning of it.
Something.
His
Your
task was to find a station
that
we could get on.
Michigan, in their, what was it, their media department? What department was that? Radio, television?
We got our
master's from, what department? Well, out of you. Television and radio, and we both, but we didn't really know each other. And here we, I believe it was circumstance. It was to be, because I stuck my hand out and shook hands. I said, I'm in. And Dale told the story about this gentleman from the, was it the 101st that you talked with?
Right. Max, I'll remember his name shortly. It will come back to me. Max Walters. Max, I do remember. Max Walters out in Manchester, Michigan. He had been with the 101st Airborne. He had been involved in D-Day. And his wife said that he had never really told anybody his stories. And I had gone out there on some insurance question, and he took me out to his garage, which was an homage to the 101st Airborne. There was a huge banner on the wall. There were maps of Europe. Everything was out there. And 4 hours later, I came out, and his wife said he's never told those stories to anybody. And I said, well, there's something that we have to do here. Absolutely. And so this is what I told Bob about. And then we recruited two other amazing men. Ken Rogie, who's going to be on later, was kind of the voice of our Medal of Honor series. He was an Air Force veteran who had been with Armed Forces Radio in Thailand. So we tapped into his expertise. And then we were able to recruit Gary Lilly, who was a Navy Seabee. And Gary, for people in the Ann Arbor area, know that Gary Lilly was a veteran's veteran. This guy was involved in everything involved with what's going on with veterans and helping veterans and so on.
And I want to add that he found his calling after all these years of his life with Veterans Radio. The man was excellent. What else could you say? He did his research. He was always articulate. He stayed on point. It was great to work with Gary.
He was great to work with, and if we ever couldn't find a story, we'd call him up on Friday nights and say, Gary, I can't find anybody, and he'd pull together something that was, you know, always a great show. And unfortunately, Gary was killed by a hit-and-run driver a number of years ago, and we'd miss him desperately on the program, and he's right up on my wall of mentors. Every time I have to think about a question or something about a program, I'll look up and say, okay, Gary, what would you do?
Yep.
And that's what we do. But Bob, I have a guest on the line just for you.
Who is that?
Right now. And so joining us here on Veterans Radio to celebrate our 70th anniversary is Dr. Rebecca Grant.
No.
And Dr. Grant, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Congratulations on a wonderful anniversary. Good to hear your voices, Bob and Dale.
Thank you very much. I should point out to our audience that this Dr. Grant has probably been one of our most frequent guests on Veterans Radio. She is a specialist in defense and aerospace research and consulting, and she's our foreign affairs expert. And matter of fact, I'll do a quick promo here. Dr. Grant is going to be on Veterans Radio next week talking about what is going to happen with this transition over to a new administration and how it's going to affect our foreign relations. So, Bob, I'm going to let you ask a question of Dr. Grant.
I want to just add, Dr. Grant, all the years that you and I worked together before Dale and I kind of retired, but you always stayed on topic. You brought my professionalism out. You gave me that platform, and it was a wonder to work with you and very exciting, and I want to say that personally.
Oh, I have to thank you because I've learned so much about talking on the radio from you. I remember our very first topic many years ago was about the Yamamoto raid that killed Japanese Admiral Yamamoto back in World War II and was a real key point. But Bob, looking back over the many times we've talked together, one thing really stands out to me, and that is you were one of the very first to talk about North Korea. And you would always ask me about North Korea back in that time period when they were developing the missiles and becoming the little nuclear power that we see today. And I just want to commend you on calling that one so well and then on all the many wonderful topics that we have talked about over the years.
Well, it has made me very proud to be part of your media life, and I know that you influenced me, and that's for sure. I'll be, maybe, who never knows, you know, might be able to pull myself out sometime and join Dale and perhaps get back just for one program, but it'll have to be a while. And thank you again, Dr. Grant.
Well, thank you, Bob, and again, just the wonderful topics that we've been over, and I know there's a lot more good broadcasting in store for Veterans Radio. I look forward to joining you all next week and talking about President-elect Biden, talking about China, Taiwan, hypersonic weapons, and the dynamic leadership going on in the U.S. Army, and a whole bunch of other topics. So thank you, and looking forward to next week.
Thank you very much, Dr. Grant. We're very excited to have you already scheduled for next week. I want to remind our audience that if you want to give us a call, you can. The number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. We also have our newest addition to the Veterans Radio team as partner and on the air personality, I guess you could say, and that is Jim Falcone. Jim, welcome back to Veterans Radio for another Sunday evening.
Yeah. Dale and Bob, it's great to hear both of your voices again on Veterans Radio. You know, congratulations on 17 great years. I don't really know when I got hooked, but I did just look up. Jerry Lilly passed in January of 2013. It's hard to believe it's been 7 years now. So we certainly miss him, but I know I got hooked when he was around and started as a listener, then kind of a sponsor, then occasional guest, and somewhere occasional host, and somewhere the podcast host. So glad to be doing that and recording podcasts and programs for Veterans Radio. So great to hear you guys.
Well, it's just great to have you on board, Jim. It's always fun to, you know, the enthusiasm and the emotion and the devotion that all of us have brought to this program. It's always great to add, another voice to the program. And we're always out there looking for new contributors, people who have story ideas, people who want to do radio. We're more than happy to give you a tryout if you want to, or you want to be a collaborator. You're more than welcome to join this. We realize Bob and I are we'll just say we're in the seventh decade of our lives. Jim's a little bit younger than we are, and we're still looking for younger people that might want to take over this whole idea at some point in the future, although I'm not quite ready to give up being on the radio. As Bob always said, you know, we have this window to the world that radio allows us to do. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking right now we are talking to the people in Michigan, of course, from our home station, WAAM in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But we are also on a station in California. We're on a station in Minnesota. We're in a station in Oregon. We're also streaming on the internet. So I know that probably our good friends in Australia are listening live right now. So again, we encourage you to give us a call if you want. I'd be more than happy to have you tell us what you think about Veterans Radio, and we're always excited, as I mentioned. Bob, I wanted to come back to you just briefly and talk a little bit about that very first radio station that you were able to locate that was willing to carry us.
So, first of all, we had dials. Nobody had dials. That was going back to 40s radio, but it was dials. And the board was dials, and we also had turntables. Yeah, turntables. So all our music, the bump music that we played, had to go off turntables. But there we were with our first program at WSDS. That's right, WSDS. And if you remember, Dale, we had to bang that transmitter. I think it was 800 watts. But when it started to fade, we'd get out of our chair, go into the hallway, and hit, what was it, the general transmitter?
I don't know. I just remember you have to bang it really hard in a certain place, and the power would boost.
I think one of the, and it was really darling to me, a mama cat showed up pregnant. So she was taken in out of the rain and dropped, was it 5 or 7 kittens?
I don't know, but they moved in quickly thereafter.
We're on the radio, and there's kittens walking around. I mean, that was country radio. And our first guest, and the Honorable John Dingell, God bless him, he was the veteran. He did so much for the veterans, and he was our first guest.
Right, he was. Didn't you end up riding in a car with him at one point?
He made himself available. There was a huge storm. It was a UAW rally, huge storm. He is, here I am trying to get an interview, and he invited me to come in his limousine. And in the limousine, he's in the front seat. His chauffeur's next to him. I'm in the back seat, and we did an interview. And that was John Dingell. He made himself available to the veteran. He's a lot like Dr. Grant, too. He provided information. He made you aware of things. He was wonderful. What else can I say?
I know. That was one of those very first programs. And I'm sorry, folks, if you want to go down memory lane with us, we're going to do that a little bit today.
One other thing. We had Don Burgett. Did I say that right? I never could get it.
Oh, Burgett.
The guy who wrote, what was it, Band of Brothers? He was. He wrote 5 books on the airborne. He was at Bastogne. He was our guest along with Congressman Dingell. So we had Don Burgett all dressed up in his airborne boots and white laces and crisp uniform. He was on a series, wasn't it, Dale, called The Band of Brothers? I know he was a writer for part of that series.
Right, yes, he was. They based it off of his books. And, yeah, he was a character, that's for sure. We had him on. We've had the privilege of having a number of Medal of Honor recipients on our program.
Yeah.
Including our local town hero, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles, who unfortunately passed away last year. But we had him on numerous times to talk about his escapades as a helicopter pilot and rescuing a number of people in an untenable situation in Vietnam. We've had just so many people on. It's been an amazing ride, and we're so excited that we were able to do this for our audiences and for ourselves for the last 17 years.
And we had our share. Remember Chuck Yeager?
Yes, I do. I was just reading about him today. I'll fill you in a minute.
I don't know how much of a story that was. We had General Yeager, retired, the Chuck Yeager, live on the program. And he was very colorful and very, very speaking. And he was talking about flying his Mustang and Germany and shooting at the Germans. And we're on Christian radio, okay? It's great. But we got Chuck Yeager live. We had no delay. This was it. Whatever they were saying, going right out.
Get ready,
you.
Derek.
And Chuck, General Yeager said, those SOBs, except he didn't say SOB, were coming out of the sunlight or something like that. And I looked at, Dale was the host, I was on the board. I looked at you, Dale. You looked at me, we shrugged our shoulders, looked down at the phones, nobody was calling. I mean, General, what are you going to tell him? You know, he was colorful, and that was, I think that was one of the Veteran Radio highlights.
I think that was one of the highlights. There are many of them out there, obviously. Michael J. Martin, who's a true veteran troubadour, was on the program many times. For those of you Vietnam veterans especially, you'll recognize Michael J. Martin's name as he and his partner just wrote just such powerful songs. And Gary, that's another Gary Lilly find that we had on there. And he played live in the studio because after we were at WSDS for a while, we got promoted and we moved over to Wham, right where we are right now.
Wow.
And more signal. We didn't have to kick the transmitter at all. They've taken very good care of us over the years. We did leave Wham for a while because they, before Coolarity bought them with the, with Linda Hughes, who we owe our lives to from a radio standpoint and such a good person in our lives. And we moved over to Catholic Radio, as Bob mentioned, to WDEO here in Ann Arbor also. And we were there for 5 or 6 years. And then
eight years.
Really? Oh, that time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
I'd like to add something, Dale, because this is a big moment for all of us. We were on the air at WDEO, right? Okay, Catholic Radio. And by the way, that was the president was Mr. Monahan, Paul Monahan, who happened to be a former Marine, Semper Fi.
Always a Marine.
And he happened to be the president. Well, guess what? We got in the door. Anyway, I got a phone call. On a Friday afternoon, we were broadcasting at 9 o'clock on Saturday. I got this phone call about 5 in the evening, and it was Al Jazeera, the television station, the network. And we're not talking about the Arabs, folk. This was all American run. They had this in New York. Well, they wanted to come out the next morning and shoot our program. Whoa, sure, come on out. Let's all meet at the big boy. So I show up, and I'm a Jewish guy. Dale, I think you're Presbyterian, right? Right. Or whatever, you know. And then we had from DEO, oh, I forget his name, their president.
I'm sorry. His name was Al as well.
And then we had the Arabs. So we had this conglomerate, all at the big boy folks, and we're all just getting along. Yeah, I remember the excitement, and all of us motorcaded from the big boy on Plymouth Road over to the studio. It was fantastic.
And if you are interested in seeing what that looked like on that show, you can go to veteransradio.net and look in our archives, and there is the video from that. That was our 10th anniversary, actually. It turned out to be our 10th anniversary program, and it was there. So, Bob, I'm going to let you go now.
Thank you.
We're going to go to some other guests here, but I want to thank you for calling in. I'm glad you were here when Rebecca called in. And you please take care of yourself. I'll be in touch.
Okay, then. Good luck to you, too, Jim. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so that was Bob Gould, one of the original four when we founded Veterans Radio back in 2003. And actually, our very first program was on, I believe it was November 15th of 2003. So, Jim, I'm going to bring you back on here for a second.
While you and Bob were reminiscing, I think I want to make a point for our veteran radio listeners is, and you told me this when I got involved, you said, you're going to be surprised at how many people want to talk to the veteran radio listener audience. And you mentioned Medal of Honor recipients. We've had a number of them on. Now, my favorite is Kyle Carpenter, who was a young Marine who, in his words, cuddled a grenade to save his buddies. And his slogan is, you are worth it. And if you really think about that, that's amazing. But also, we've had people on like Dr. Shulkin, who was the secretary of the VA. Right. You know, we get Veterans Radio because of its longevity, because of its reach, because of its audience. We get U.S. senators. We mentioned Congressman Dingell, who was a great guy. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, you know, we get the big names, Rebecca Grant, writers, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk to some writers. So it's been an amazing run and an amazing run of who wants to be on Veterans Radio.
We've been very fortunate that all these connections that we made have come through. I just wanted to tell a real quick story before we take our first break. And this is one of Gary Lilly's interviews. He was interviewing John Voight, the actor. And John Voight was in California. And at the time we were doing our program, it was at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And so that meant it was 6 o'clock in California. And so Gary starts his interview with John Voight, and we suddenly hear somebody say, "What are you doing over the line? What are you doing?" And Mr. Voight goes, "Hold on just a second." And the next thing you know, we hear a door close and all this other stuff. And Gary goes, "Well, where are you?" He says, I'm in the bathroom holding this interview because my wife just woke up and wanted to know who I was talking to at 6 a.m. So I thought that was a rather interesting story. We had people on. We tried to stay as apolitical as possible, which is, you know, really difficult many of the times. But we had, during the, I think it was the 2004 campaign. No, yeah, it was 2004. I think it was when we had, Swift voters for Kerry. We had Swift voters against Kerry. We've had John McCain on the program. We've had, Republicans, Democrats, it doesn't make any difference to us. All we ask is that our politicians, if you make a statement about what you're going to do for veterans, just do it, please. It's really Amen. Important to us. That's what we want to hold our politicians' feet to the fire on. If you're going to do something or say something about veterans, then keep your promises to us. All right. So I see that Derek is on the line. Well, right now, I'm expecting a call coming in here pretty soon. But we're going to take a real quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to have some more guests. And we want to encourage you, give us a call here at Veterans Radio. It's 734-822-1600. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, this is Susan Sarandon. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they are being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in getting our veterans off the streets and into safe, permanent housing. You can make a donation at veteransmatter.org or text VETS to 41444 and donate any amount. They fought for us, now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
All right, and we are back on Veterans Radio right now, celebrating our 17th anniversary. Yay! Many of you may have wondered who the voice was who's doing the Legal Help for Veterans ad there and who does all of our Medal of Honor programs that we've done. And it was one of our founders, and that is joining me on the line right now is former Air Force veteran, Ken Rogge. And Ken, welcome back to the program, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear your voice, young man.
Happy anniversary.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, 17 years. Wow.
There were many times when I didn't think this was ever going to work.
Yeah, I didn't think so either when we first started. Remember the old station that we were in?
Yeah, that's for sure.
The cats running around and on the console and...
Yes, yeah. You remember that beautiful shag carpeting that was on the walls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was beautiful. Yeah.
I think we all came out of there with some respiratory problem.
Yeah.
Forget Agent Orange.
probably just as bad.
Yeah, I believe so. So we already talked with Bob earlier on, and we had Rebecca Grant dropped in to say hi to us. And I just wanted to bring you back and kind of pick your brain for a couple of your memories of getting us started on Veterans Radio.
Oh, one of the things that struck out for me was the console and the cats all over it. And one night... We were doing the show, and I think some cat hairs got into the switch, and it wouldn't work. So we struggled with that.
I remember the following day or something, they cleaned, they lifted up the board, and it was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was full of cat hair.
It was. It was an unusual place.
Yeah.
But
the other thing I remember that really frustrated me was trying to do any production work in there. Mm-hmm. Because you only had two tape recorders, and you had to record stuff on one and then try to dub it to the other one and then go back and forth. And I remember trying to do the Bob Hope show for Christmas, and it took me about 3 days to do it. And it's only an hour long program.
Well, luckily the technology has improved somewhat, but I should have played that tonight, but it's on cassette tape is our original program. and the problem was so many of the words that we were having go out over the air wouldn't be allowed today. And the other thing was, are we on? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
It was kind of embarrassing, really. But I was really appreciative of you, Ken, and with your patience and explaining to us how various things about, actually doing radio, because that's what you did for so many years.
Yeah.
I think it was very helpful to all of us. At least it helped us be a little bit more professional.
Yeah. Well, we got it started, and it took us a while to get things going, get smoothed out. But the first 10 or 12 shows that we did were disasters.
Not content-wise, but production-wise, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. As time went on, we gradually ironed out the problems, and it turned out to be pretty good.
I think so. Can you think of any of your favorite programs that you did?
Yeah. So one that comes to mind is my interview with Chuck Yeager.
Yes.
It was phenomenal. I was so thrilled to be that he would be willing to sit down on the phone for an hour doing the show, and we did it live.
I know. I want to point that out.
One point in the show, I was giving a little of his background and telling people that he was shot down very early in the war. This was in World War II. And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "He shot me down." I was dumbfounded. I said, "But what did he do?" He said, "Well, he got up behind me, and so."
It was amazing. Bob actually told a story about Yeager as well. I think it was probably through in your interview when he was talking about the Germans being SOBs.
And,
sometimes we were warned about World War II veterans every time. It seemed like we were had a program with older, now we're the old ones, but with the older veterans that, they have a tendency to say exactly what's on their mind. And I think we've been very fortunate over 17 years. I don't think we've ever had anybody drop anything too bad on the air.
Yeah. We didn't. It was pretty good. I think that the World War II vets understand radio and the fact that you don't curse on the radio. So,
mm-hmm. It's interesting because the Chuck Yeager thing. I just got a lead on another author, a World War II guy who's still alive. He's 98 years old and he flew P-51 Mustangs, right?
Yeah.
You guys are those experts. And he has written a book, and one of my students has found out about him and made contact with him. And so she has connected me with him, and I'm hoping I can get him on the air quickly.
Chuck Yeager?
No, it wasn't Yeager. Oh, no. It's I got to find my notes here about who it was. But
well,
it was
it
another guy.
I wouldn't know him.
Yeah. Well, Anderson, I think his name was, but I'm not sure. But,
Bob Anderson.
Yes.
He's a very famous World War II fighter pilot.
Right, and he's connected with the Roush Racing Team because the Roush Racing Team rebuilt his Mustang.
Yeah.
And this is getting to be a very small world again.
Yes, it is. And it's coming full circle.
So I'll have to make sure I'll let you know when that one is on. I know you were, I was always grateful because you were able to do the Air Force programs because you had those connections. And I remember a book you had about, it was called Bury Me Upside Down.
Yeah. So I'm not going to tell you what it was, why they said that, but.
Well, we don't have to go into that, but you can look in our archives, folks. That's in there somewhere. But it was about, you did a couple of stories on forward air controllers.
Yeah.
Which were really exciting shows.
Yeah, the facts.
Yes.
That's what they called them, facts.
Right. For any of the people that are listening that were in Vietnam, you know what a FAC pilot was and how effective they were in keeping many of us alive.
One of the other shows that I remember that I really, really enjoyed was talking with Bud Day, who was a Medal of Honor recipient. And he was shot down on his, I think it was his third or fourth, maybe fifth mission in Vietnam. And he was taken captive and, by the villagers, and they kept him in a hut. And he managed, and they stripped him of all of his clothes except his shorts. And he had broken he had a compound fracture of his upper arm, and he had, numerous lacerations and got blinded in one eye from bailing out at a high speed. And after 7 days, he escaped. And he ran out at night, and he hid during the day. And he walked as until he came to a river, and right on the other side was the American artillery unit. And it was coming up on daylight, and he didn't want to go across the river in daylight, so he hid. And it was he was lying and under some weeds in alongside the trail. And the Vietnamese came, the North Vietnamese, and they were looking for him. And one of them accidentally stepped on him.
Oh,
and they
so
caught
close.
Him. And they took him back, and they sent him to the Hanoi Hilton. And he stayed there the rest of the war. And you guess who his roommate was at the up in Hanoi?
McCain.
Yes, John McCain. And they helped each other. They were tortured numerous times. It's just repeatedly, day after day after day. And they helped each other survive. But Bud Day was the story. It just gave me chills when I was talking with him. It was just amazing.
I think, Ken, you bring up a really good point right there. Is that many of the times we've had this opportunity to talk to these men and women, and more women in today's military, that just it makes the hair in the back of your neck stand up, and you're going, "How could they survive these things?
Yeah.
How did they do this?"
Yeah.
And what a privilege it is for us to be able to tell their stories.
Yeah, yes, it is. And but you know, an interesting point that along that line, Bud Day was kept in the cell, and he was taken and being tortured, and he would have to kneel on a cement floor, and he had to hold his good arm up in the air. And if he started to bring his arm down, the two guards that were in the room with him would run past him with strips of tire and smack him on the back.
Ooh.
And they did that for hours, but he survived. He's remarkable.
He is remarkable. All those men that were stuck up there were remarkable. And so many of the people that are in the military then and now, as now, are as remarkable. Ken, I'm going to let you go, but I want to thank you so much for helping us here on Veterans Radio to get us started, for being a team member for so often and for so long. And we're going to hear your voice again in just a minute when we play a Medal of Honor. So thanks very much, Ken Rogie.
You're welcome, Dale. It's a pleasure.
My pleasure, too. Take care, please.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take another real quick break here. And when we come back, we've got Dwight Zimmerman is on the phone. And for those of you that listen to Veterans Radio over the years, you know that he's a very successful military writer. And he's got a new book coming out that I wanted to talk about. And so we're going to talk to Dwight about that. But you can call us if you want, 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. It was Staff Sergeant Henry Irwin's job on the lead B-29 to drop a phosphorus canister as a marker when they reached the assembly area over enemy territory. Details after this. Irwin positioned the canister in the launch tube and pulled the pin at the pilot's orders. The flare dropped and then flew back into the plane. It exploded in Irwin's face, spewing flames just feet away from tons of incendiary bombs. Smoke filled the aircraft momentarily, blinding the pilot and co-pilot and putting the plane in a steep dive. Irwin dropped to his knees and, unable to see, felt for the canister. Although it was burning at 1,300 degrees, he picked it up, cradled it to his body, and began crawling to the cockpit. He yelled to the co-pilot to open the window and threw the flare out. The crew then turned its fire extinguisher on him and began to feed plasma into his arm. Doctors were sure he was going to die and transferred him to Guam. Major General Curtis LeMay recommended him for the Medal of Honor and got authorities to expedite the award so it could be presented before he died. 1 week after the attack, LeMay presented the medal to Irwin at a bedside ceremony attended by the rest of his crew and his brother. Irwin surprised doctors by surviving. He was flown home to Alabama, where he was hospitalized for 2.5 years and underwent numerous operations. Henry Irwin died on January 16, 2002.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org or call 810-767-VETS.
Hello, we're back here on Veterans Radio and with Jim Falzone, my co-host today. Jim, just making sure that you are here. And hopefully we're going to be able to have our program in a couple of years where we can bring in all of your great programs that you've been doing.
I'm really enjoying it. Ken Rogge really got Veterans Radio started on sort of paying attention to the Medal of Honor recipients and honoring all their work. One of the things he talked about was the time in the Hanoi Hilton for Bud Day. Great book I did a podcast on was 6 years in Hanoi Hilton by Amy Hawk about her father, stepfather James Shively. I mean, these stories all become connected. And if you want to learn the history you were never taught, Veterans Radio is where you ought to be.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this, because we were afraid that so many of the stories are going to go untold. And, you know, we have worked with people in our local area with the Veterans History Project, just trying to get as many of these stories recorded as we possibly can. And, you know, we've done, you've done, 300 podcasts, and I think we've done about 850 hour-long programs. But there's still 20 million veterans out there that we haven't been able to talk to yet. And so this is something that we want to do if we can. I mean, not 20 million of them, but as many of them as we possibly can.
Absolutely. We're working on it.
I know. Well, I've got two people on the phone right now, and I'm going to bring on, Dwight Zimmerman first. So, Ken, if you hold on, Dwight, welcome back to Veterans Radio. Dwight is a former president of the Military Writers Society of America, is where I met him. He has been a contributor to Veterans Radio over the years. For I think about a year or 2 years, he did a program a month called At Ease, which introduced us to other military writers. And I wanted to have Dwight back on because he's got another great compilation of stories, it looks like, with a bunch of different authors called Beyond Belief: True Stories of American Heroes that Defy Belief. And I see a whole bunch of programs we can do. Dwight, welcome back.
Dale, thank you for having me on again, and happy 17th anniversary. I'm so happy that over the years I've been able to contribute to your excellent work there on Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to make sure our audiences know that it seems like you post an article a day on the Defense Media Network.
Yeah, well, what can I say? I've been rather prolific. And, the latest book is Beyond Belief. And I'm happy to say that, Doug Stirner, whom you know, and yes, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, you know, was instrumental in getting the Stolen Valor Act passed through legislation and signed into law. He's a veteran. And has made it his life's work to record all the individuals who received decorations. He started with the Medal of Honor, and he's been since working through all the different decorations of valor to make sure that every citation and story is recorded. And I'm just so happy when he contacted me on this project Beyond Belief. Because as you well know, and your listeners know, there in combat there are some extraordinary things that happen. Now this, we're talking beyond Medal of Honor recipients, so we're just talking about just absolutely jaw-dropping, astonishing, never to believe events that occurred during war. And I was humbled that Doug wanted me to contribute four articles to it. It covers a huge range of stuff. I was really astonished and impressed with both the variety and quality of the contributors. And I do want to point out one thing. It's not just combat. It's also, and it's not just men. It also focuses on the women, and one in particular, and this is really a gut-wrenching story. Okay, Dale, I'm going to ask you, what is the youngest person who was a POW in the Vietnam?
Oh, I don't know his name.
Well,
it was some guy about 16,
the name,
was
the age.
He?
Guess the age.
16.
Close. In fact, you're closer than anybody else. A five-year-old girl.
A five-year-old? Holy moly.
Yeah. She was the daughter of some missionaries. And they were American missionaries, and they were captured. And the chapter about her is this five-year-old wrote down her account. And it is just such a moving... you finish that thing. Yeah. The adult, when she became an adult, she added an afterword to it. But you're reading this thing from the point of view of a five-year-old girl. And, oh, man, your heart just goes right out to the poor girl.
Well, we're going to don't give it away, Dwight, because we're going to have you back on sometime in the near future, because I just ordered this book, so I'm going to make sure I get this, and we'll have you on, and we're going to tell about some of these stories. This is what Veterans Radio does, through people like Dwight, who bring their stories to us, and so we can pass them along to you. Dwight, I want to thank you very much for being on our program and for being a good friend of Veterans Radio and a good friend of mine. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Dale. Good luck, and good luck to the Tigers, so long as they're not playing my Packers. Or the Lions.
Hey, the Lions won today.
So long as they're not playing my Packers.
All right, Dwight. Thanks a lot.
Yep, take care.
See you. All right, that was Dwight Zimmerman, is a writer. Check him out. For those of you that are really into military stories and so forth, it's Zimmerman with a Z-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N, Dwight, and look for his articles on Defense Media Network. I wanted to also bring on another guest. One of the organizations that we really, really like to support here on Veterans Radio, and hopefully you've been hearing his little spots over the years, it's called Veterans Matter. And right now I've got the founder of Veterans Matter on the phone. That's Ken Leslie. Ken, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Happy anniversary. Happy pandemic.
Yeah. Might as well, right?
Yeah. Well, happy pandemic, as I like to say.
Well, I'm assuming that tell our audience real quickly what you do, because during this pandemic, I'll bet you that you're busier than ever.
Yeah, because of COVID and winter coming, what we do is we house homeless veterans. We partner with the VC, the VA nationwide to help house homeless veterans in permanent housing. There's a 91% success rate keeping them housed. And with COVID and the winter coming, we've been busting our hump to get as many veterans as we can, as soon as we can, as fast as we can. And we've now housed 4,000 veterans. I didn't get talking since, but just 2 weeks ago, we housed our 4,000th veteran. But the way we view it is it's only our 4,000th.
Mm-hmm. No, we've been supporting you ever since I learned about Veterans Matter, and I'm just grateful for what you do. You provide the funding to get veterans into housing. You help them with the paperwork necessary to get the VA to help them out, and so on and so forth. And you've expanded. You started off just in the Toledo area, didn't you?
Right, right. We started to house 35 local veterans, and then Dusty Hill, ZZ Top asked me to expand. Texas and John Mellencamp did the same thing in Indiana. And in Michigan, Mitch Elbum became the chair of Operation Michigan. And then Money with Katy Perry, Kid Rock, and the thing really started taking off. But I didn't call in to talk about Veterans Matter. I called in to congratulate you on 17 years. So what is the biggest, your proudest moment in those 17 years?
Whoa. This is going to sound very, very self-effacing, I guess you could say. And that is that when I was, I did a story on the Coast Guard, and my dad had been in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, my dad died when I was 15, and I never found out anything about him. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this story on the Coast Guard, and this my board op calls up, and he says, I got this really old guy on the phone he wants to talk to. And I said, okay, we'll put him on. And he comes on, and he says, you know, hi, Dale. He says, I knew Bill. And I'm going, Bill? Who's Bill? No, he says, I knew your dad. And I'm going, what? And he says, yo, Bill Thronberry. My dad's name was William Clifton. I only knew him as Cliff, so that's why it kind of threw me off. And he says, no, we were on the same LST in Okinawa and Iwo Jima. And he filled me in on so many things I had never known about my dad. And his son, who's my age, of course, sent me pictures of my dad I'd never seen.
Wow.
And it just brought tears to my eyes. And my wife and other people have said, you know, that's why you were doing this program. You were looking, and you found what you were looking for.
Wow, and that is so beautiful.
And it brought tears to my eyes, obviously, on the air. And
right.
It was just, and so I want to do that for other people too. And we have connected. We've had some people that have left messages for us that say, oh, you know, thank you for interviewing my dad. I never knew that he had done these things.
Mm-hmm,
and that's why we do it. And that's why we want to continue doing it. And it's, you know, we want to support organizations like yours and the Fisher House and some other organizations that we really get behind because of all the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what a beautiful, beautiful thing. And
thank
I think
you.
Your wife could be right. That's why, to create that that connection.
It was. I was obviously, you know, I was trying to figure it out. And, yeah, that and many other, I mean, just so many other wonderful people that we've been able to talk to over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we've always, it sounds a little cliched as well, as, you know, ordinary people that do extraordinary things
right.
in the service of their country. And that's what everybody does who signs that, you know, that bottom line to enlist or whatever it was that, okay, you've got us. What do you want us to do? We'll do whatever you want us to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the coolest things is that nobody views it as extraordinary. Nobody is doing it. You know, it's
no.
what they do, right? It's just how they roll. It's not.
It's how they roll.
I'm an extraordinary person. So I you know, I'm going to go in the service.
All right, go on a search. We'll see you. Ken, I hope to be talking to you again soon. We got about 3 minutes left, according to my studio. So I want to thank you very much, and I wish you the best of luck with Veterans Matter, and I encourage our audiences to go to veteransmatter.org and help you guys out.
Thanks. Talk soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye
bye. All right, Jim, we're down to the end of another anniversary program, which I think is awesome.
It's amazing how fast the time flies and how much there's to talk about. But it just shows you the depth and the breadth of programming and storytelling that we do here on Veterans Radio. And again, I'll go back to this, that kind of concept of we're trying to capture those stories and tell the history that you just don't get taught. You lose track of. So if you're out there and you're listening and you say, boy, my, you know, grandson or granddaughter, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, brother ought to hear these stories, plug them into us. Get them over to veteransradio.net. We've got an archives. We've got a podcast library that's pretty robust. You're going to learn stuff. You're going to get different points of view. You're going to be surprised at some of those points of view because we make sure we reach out and talk to a wide variety of veterans, African-Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, folks who, you know, came from nowhere and going into the service was their way to get out. I recently had a story told where the mom called the recruiter on her daughter. I said, man, I've heard a lot of threats, but I've never heard one where mom called it on the daughter. So there's all
That's
kinds
right.
of stories.
The world
out
is
there
changing, Jim, right before our eyes. Well, all right, we've got about 2 minutes left, I'm assuming. And I got something in the middle of my screen here, Derek. Hold on. There we go. Oh, I have 1 minute. All right. So thank you very much, Jim. I'm going to give a quick promo here, and we will be back next week with another Veterans Radio program. But in the meantime, Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, which is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. And you can help us out by going to our website and clicking on donate. And your donation may be tax deductible. Just want to make sure that you are aware of that. We want to thank you all for listening. It's a privilege and an honor for us to talk with you each week here on Veterans Radio. And I'm going to leave you with a quote from Will Rogers. It says, "We all can't be heroes because somebody has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by." And that's us. We're clapping for all of you out there. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Veterans Radio, and you are dismissed.